The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
The year was 2003. The place was Pensacola, Florida. Loaded up a little U-Haul trailer and attached it behind my Dodge Dakota pickup truck. Put my two teenage daughters in the back of it, not in the trailer. They were actually in the truck with us. And we began a move to Texarkana. Sandy still had a job there. We still had a house to sell, and so she stayed behind for a little while. But we moved to become an associate pastor at Beach Street First Baptist Church in downtown Texarkana, Arkansas. If you ever through there, it's the church that looks like a Capitol building. Got a big white dome, very Greek architecture-looking building. But went there to be their associate pastor of education and administration. That was some 17-plus years ago. There's been a lot of water passed under the bridge of our lives since that time. A lot of that water was sweet and tranquil. We bought a house that we still live in. We thoroughly enjoyed living there. Both my daughters graduated high school, went on to college. I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago, the only error in my way was they went to the wrong college. They went to the University of Arkansas rather than LSU. But one of my daughters is here this morning with our little granddaughter. And this is the one I think I mentioned is expecting twins here in a few months. So we just spent a lot of good times since we moved there. We made a lot of good friends. Sandy quit her job and went to PA school and to become a physician assistant. And so just a lot of really good things happened since we moved to Texarkana. But like almost every life, there's been some bitter and turbulent waters passed under that bridge in our life as well. Sandy, interestingly enough, had to drop out of PA school after only a few months. She developed some issues that required surgery, and so she had to step aside from that. Some of those good friends moved away. That's always heartbreaking to see folks you love and care about and do life with and them to suddenly leave. We've buried both of her parents since we moved to Texarkana, which, of course, is a difficult time. And all that happened before 2020 arrived. And, of course, I don't have to tell you the challenges that 2020 brought into many of our lives. And for me, in May of last year, it meant losing a job of almost 15 years. I was a full-time consultant with Lifeway Christian Resources. How many of you remember the old Baptist Sunday School Board? Do you remember that? Yeah, you're just kind of telling me your age when you raise your hand if you remember that. But that's okay. I remember it too. I worked in the area at Lifeway that basically was what was left of the old Baptist Sunday School Board, a church consultant. I got to travel all over Arkansas, North Louisiana, and Northeast Texas, meeting with pastors and church leaders about areas of discipleship and Sunday school. Well, that happened in May. And for about 6 weeks, I was without a job. Now, looking back now, 6 weeks is just a little blip. Doesn't seem like that long, but when you're without a job, it seemed like a long time. But God was gracious. On July 1 of last year, I was able to go to work for the Arkansas Baptist State Convention as their state Sunday school specialist, and that's what I'm doing today. So God was good, even though there were some difficult times that came our way. When I lost my job, I can honestly say I was never fearful. Now, there were some other emotions, some doubt, some confusion, some anger. I confess I wanted to go punch the guy who made the decision in the throat. Did I say that out loud, Max? Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But I dealt with some emotions, but fear was never really one of the emotions I had to deal with. And I want to tell you, it had nothing to do with any spirituality inside of me. It had everything to do with the nature and character of a very faithful God in whom I had put all of my eggs in his basket, totally trusting in him to do in my life what he wanted to do. See, Hebrews 13 makes it clear that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so one of the first things that I did when I lost my job was I looked back at a previous time in my life when God was faithful also, a time when I had put down some spiritual markers. And I don't know if you do that, if you literally make notes in your Bible or put things on a calendar when God did something great in your life. But I did that. And I look back to the year was 1987, the other time I lost a job. I was working for a company in Shreveport, Graybar Electric Company. I was a salesman, meeting with contractors and industrials all over North Louisiana. And I lost my job then. We had just bought a brand new house, literally a few months before. Sandy was pregnant with our oldest daughter. And so there was some reason to be concerned. But God was faithful. And God provided for us during that time. In fact, that began a series of events that eventually led me to surrender to a full-time call to vocational ministry. And so back last May, I thought back on those times when God was faithful, when God did some things that I needed him to do. Now, I don't know you very well this morning, but I'm going to make an assumption about everybody here with the exception of maybe our 2-year-old granddaughter, Everly. And she might would argue this point. You have all been through some difficult times. There's been some pain and suffering in your life. Some of you may be going through some really difficult times right now. And so this morning, I want us to look at the faithfulness of our God during these challenging times. During these times that we have pain in our life. Sometimes when we might doubt the faithfulness of our God. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture. And it's a passage that a well-known hymn is based on. It's in the book of Lamentations. See if you recognize the words to this hymn. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. That song is actually based on a passage out of the book of Lamentations, which is where we're going to be this morning, Lamentations chapter 3. Now, Lamentations is a small book. It's only 5 chapters long. It's nestled between 2 of the great prophetic books of the Old Testament, the books of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And although it's not explicitly stated in the text itself, almost all Bible scholars believe that the prophet Jeremiah wrote Lamentations. And it is, in essence, the lament or the cries of anguish of a man who's brokenhearted. He is crushed by what he sees going on with God's people, the nation of Israel, and specifically the city of Jerusalem. And he's probably even more crushed by the sin that he knows is in God's people that caused this to happen to them. And so this morning, I want us to look at the faithfulness of God during dark times. He is nearer than you might think he is. You know, as a believer, one of the worst things that can happen to us is not the actual event that causes heartbreak and tragedy. And I in no way want to minimize any pain you've gone through or any pain you might be in right now. Pain is real, and it's never to be minimized. It is a part of the life that we live. But the worst thing for a believer during these events is to miss the faithfulness of God. Lamentations will help us see that. Now, my CSB study Bible gives this really good, concise introduction to Lamentations. I want to read it to you real quickly. It says, this is a book about pain, but with hope in God. The author vividly addresses the extremes of human pain and suffering as few other authors have done in history. For this reason, Lamentations is an important biblical source expressing the hard questions that arise during our times of pain. Now, without getting too deep in the weeds, it's important to have a historical context of what's going on in the words that we're about to read in Lamentations. And I can do that best simply by reading for you out of the book of 2 Kings. This is the story that happened that has broken Jeremiah the prophet's heart. This is 2 Kings chapter 25. In the 9th year of Zedekiah's reign, on the 10th day of the 10th month, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon advanced against Jerusalem with his entire army. They laid siege to the city and built a siege wall all around it. The city was under siege until King Zedekiah's 11th year. By the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine was so severe in the city that the common people had no food. Then the city was broken into, and all the warriors fled at night by way of the city gate between the two walls near the king's garden, even though the Chaldeans surrounded the city. As the king made his way along the route to the Arabah, the Chaldean army pursued him and overtook him in the plains of Jericho. Zedekiah's entire army left him and scattered. The Chaldeans seized the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah, and they passed sentence on him. They slaughtered Zedekiah's sons before his eyes. Finally, the king of Babylon blinded Zedekiah, bound him in bronze chains, and took him to Babylon. Just a horrible story to read about. A military tactic in those days was to surround a city and cut it off where no supplies could get in. And that's what the Chaldean army had done. And the people inside the walls of the city were literally starving to death. The Bible gives us reports of cannibalism taking place. The army was doing horrible things to God's people. And in the middle of all that, the king and the army left, abandoned the people that they were supposed to protect. But as they were running, they were caught by the Chaldean army. The army scattered. The king and his sons were brought back. And the king's sons were killed right before his eyes. And then his eyes were poked out. You have to think, surely God's people are wondering, God, where are you? Do you not see the pain that's going on in my life? Do you not see this heartache? Why aren't you doing something about this? Well, the book of Lamentations is a book in which every chapter deals with pain and suffering. And when it comes to the reason for pain and suffering, there are really only two views you can take. One is a very humanistic view that just says, well, it's just a part of life. There's no reason behind pain and suffering. You just have to deal with it. But then there is a faith-based view, a Christian biblical view that ultimately believes everything happens for a reason. Now, for the Christian in particular, pain and suffering is very purposeful, and it is personal because of our belief in the sovereignty of our God. And that belief creates a problem for us sometimes. And it's the age-old question of why does God allow pain and suffering in my life? If he is sovereign God over the universe and able literally to do anything he thinks or wishes, why is he allowing this pain in my life? Well, I wish I could tell you this morning Jeremiah is going to answer that for us. But he doesn't. He doesn't. But what Lamentations does do is help us understand some of the things about God's nature and character that helps us during these times of suffering, during these times of pain. Lamentations is not a book chock full of doctrinal truth, but it's full of the nature and character of God and how much he loves his people. In it, we see things that help ground us in what we know about God's nature. We also see the process for working through pain and suffering. And we also see the process of how to pray through pain and suffering. This morning, we only have time to look at one of those. And so I want us to look at some facts that we know about God's nature and God's character. And we see them in chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. And as I read this passage of Scripture, remember what Jeremiah has seen. Remember that passage that I just read to you out of 2 Kings. So Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19. Remember my affliction and my homelessness, the wormwood and the poison. I continually remember them and have become depressed. Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will put my hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. Let's pray as we look at God's word together this morning. Lord, while we don't thank you for pain and heartache and suffering, we do thank you for what you accomplish in our lives through the pain and heartache and suffering that we have to deal with. And we're grateful for your word, that in it we see your nature, your character, your goodness. Help us, Lord, to see that this morning in this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I want to share with you three truths about the nature and character of God that help sustain us during these times of suffering that are inevitable in our lives. Truth number one, God always hears your painful cry. God always hears your painful cry. We see that in verses 19 through 21. In the early 2000s, when cell phone technology really began to accelerate, there was a company called Verizon Wireless still around, and they did a series of ads where the spokesman asked a question that became kind of a punchline. Anybody remember what it was? Can you hear me now? Yeah, we remember that. Can you hear me now? See, Verizon was trying to capitalize on what they sensed was some frustration in people who were starting to use cell phones when they couldn't hear who was on the other end of the line. There's little in life more frustrating than the feeling of not being heard. A feeling like we've got something to say, something to give, and nobody's listening to us. It might happen at work. You might be on a team at work working with a group of people, and you're sitting around having this discussion about some problem or some opportunity that the business is facing. And everybody's sharing ideas, and they're talking to each other, bouncing things off of each other, responding to each other's comments. And you've got something you want to share, and you finally get your opportunity, and you tell them your great plan. And then it's just crickets. It's like you didn't say anything. And the conversation, they go back to each other. That hurts. That hurts. Or maybe you're at a party and you're standing around with friends, talking, having a good time. You remember when we used to have parties? I'm hoping those days are coming back soon. But you're standing around a group of friends. Everybody's talking about their week, talking about their kids or their precious little grandchildren. And you finally get your turn to share and you say what's on your mind, what's been going on. And then everybody goes back to talking like you didn't say anything. That's a painful thing to go through. Not being heard can be discouraging and depressing because it strikes at our sense of self-worth when we don't feel like people are listening to us. We feel devalued as a human being. And this feeling can be amplified when we're going through difficult times, when we're going through trials. Now, you may be here this morning and facing some situation that is causing heartache, and you might be wondering, God, do you hear me? Are you paying attention to what's going on in my life? Friends, I assure you, God hears you every time you cry out to Him. It is a part of His nature and His character to listen to His children when they come before Him with their pain and their heartache. You never have to worry about God the Father hearing your painful cries. King David had figured this out when in Psalm 43:5 he said, "Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise Him, my Savior and my God." When we look at the words of Jeremiah here, when he said, "Remember my affliction," in verse 19, it was not that he was reminding God. God did not need a reminder of what was going on in Jeremiah's life. God didn't need a reminder of what was happening inside the city walls of Jerusalem. Jeremiah wasn't saying, "Hey, God, look over here. I'm down here." That's not what he was doing at all. Jeremiah was much like David. He was speaking to his own soul, reminding him of the faithfulness and goodness and compassion of God, reminding himself that God indeed was hearing him. Friends, your life can never get so dark that God doesn't hear you. Your situation will never get so bad that you're out of the hearing range of a faithful and loving God, even when your feelings might tell you otherwise. Don't trust your feelings in this area of your life. Believe the word of God. Believe in the nature and character of God. Don't believe those whispers of Satan when he'll tell you God doesn't see what's going on. God didn't care about you. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God hears you every single time when you cry out to him because it is who he is. It is a part of his nature and character. Truth number two, God's faithfulness will sustain you and not your own strength. It's God's faithfulness that will sustain you and not your own strength. We see that in verses 22 through 24. Depending on what source you look at, the self-help industry in the United States today produces between $11 and $13 billion of revenue. That's a lot of self-help books, conferences, retreats. You can even hire your own self-help coach. Now, I'm kind of like George Carlin once said, if you're having to go to somebody else for self-help, that's not self-help, that's just plain help, right? I mean, listen. One of the biggest mistakes we can make as a believer is to think when things are tough, when life is dark, that we have to just pull ourselves up and press through on our own. God wants us to come to Him. That's what Jeremiah is saying. Look at verse 22. He said that he would depend on the Lord's faithful love. He said he would depend on God's unending mercy. He said in verse 23, I will depend on God's daily mercy. In verse 24, he would place his hope solely in God. You know, when I lost my job with Lifeway, I didn't just prop my feet up and fold my arms and just wait for the phone to ring and somebody to offer me a job. Right? I did the things that I knew to do. I prayed. I prayed a lot. We prayed a lot. I got my resume dusted off and updated and started networking, trying to make some contacts. But I assure you, I did not ever place my faith in my own ability to find a job. I was totally dependent on God to come through for me, to do something that was a part of His nature to do, and that is to provide for His people always. And so, just like it's a physical impossibility to pick yourself up by your own bootstraps, have you ever heard that saying? I haven't quite figured that out. You know, sometimes grab them and see if you can pick yourself up. You can't do that. It's an impossibility. Well, it is possible and foolish for a Christian to think we've got to push through these challenges in our life on our own. We have a God who loves us, a God who will give us hope, a God that we should turn to first in all the situations that we come up against. The Apostle Paul reminds us that it's in these times, during our weakness, that our God is made strong. God desires for us to turn to Him. It is God's faithfulness that sustains us and not our own strength. Truth number three is this. God sometimes just wants us to wait. He sometimes just wants us to wait. We see that in verses 25 and 26. And let's be honest. This is really hard when we're hurting. It's really hard to wait for God to do something when things aren't going right. Often our only goal is just to get out of the pain. We just want our circumstances to change. And that's human nature. You see, our human nature, we exist in and are bound by time and space. This is the only reality we've got. It's not like some of the Marvel movies where there's multiple realities and you can escape and do all these things. We're stuck right here. This is it. This is the only reality we have. And because of that, sometimes all we see is what's right in front of us. What's affecting us? What is it that is causing my pain? Well, thankfully, our God is bigger than time and space. Amen? He doesn't exist, and He's not bound by time and space like we are. He always sees the big and complete picture of not only our lives, but of the lives of those around us. I mean, we believe Romans 8:28, right? All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. We believe that, but sometimes it's hard to embrace that, particularly when we're living in a time of pain and heartache and suffering. Jeremiah knew that God was at work because he knew that's who God was. And because of that, he was determined to wait for God to do something. As I mentioned earlier, throughout my life, I've been intentional about putting down these spiritual markers, these times in the past that I can go back and look and see God at work, see where God has already revealed His nature and His character to me. particularly when things are difficult. It's those spiritual markers, those remembrances of God's faithfulness, of God giving me strength beyond myself. That's what can help us during these times of waiting. Satan wants us to dwell on our circumstances. He wants us to look at the pain and focus on that. God wants us to do just the opposite. During these times of waiting, He wants us to focus on Him, on His nature, on His character. James talks about persevering through these trials that are in our lives. That's when we can grow as believers. I want to assure you this morning, God never wastes our pain. God never wastes our pain. He desires to bring beauty from ashes, hope to our heartache, and healing to our hurts. It's often during these times that we get to know God better, because we have to wait. We have to slow down. We have to be intentional about walking closely with Him. This book of Lamentations, as dark and discouraging as it can be, and by the way, if you're going to choose to do your daily devotional reading through Lamentations, hold on tight, because it's a hard read. It really is. There's a lot of darkness there. But as dark as it is, it does not leave us without hope. The hope is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. Let me say that again. Our hope is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. And that's especially true during these times of waiting during darkness. The author of Lamentations, Jeremiah, knew this, and he knew it well. When he prophesied about the coming of Jesus in Jeremiah 23:5, he said, "Look, the days are coming, this is the Lord's declaration, when I will raise up a righteous branch for David. He will reign wisely as king and administer justice and righteousness in the land." Here's what I'm sure of this morning. You have either experienced pain in the past, you're going through something now, or you're going to in the future. It's a part of this broken, fallen world that we live in. Now, to be sure, sometimes our own sin, our own poor decisions, our own poor actions cause our own heartache. Let's don't discount that. Sometimes we are culpable. We do have a role in our own pain. But in the big picture, pain comes as a result of the fallen world that we live in. A world in which, as followers of Jesus, remember this, as followers of Jesus, we are just passing through. This is not our home. This is a temporary assignment until eternity comes for us. For those of us who have chosen to be Christ followers, if we're short-sighted and only see the here and now, then the inevitable pain is going to get amplified. It's going to get worse. But if we have an eternal view, then the pain is tempered by the hope of a better day. I love what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18. He said, "For our momentary light affliction, and you might be thinking, wait a minute, my affliction isn't momentary and it's not light. It's been going a long time. Well, think about the Apostle Paul. He's one of the few who could say this. The man was beaten nearly to death multiple times. He spent most of his post-conversion life in jail. And yet he says, "For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory." So we do not focus on what is seen. Paul said, don't focus on your pain. Don't focus on what is right here. But he says, focus on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Christian, if you're going through some hard times right now, take your eye off of the pain and put it on the prize of the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Now, I do need to say this. If you live in this broken world without Jesus, you simply have to endure. That's where you are. You just simply got to hope the pain goes away. You simply got to hope there's coming a better day. I want to tell you this morning, I've been there. there was a time in my life before I met Jesus where I was tired, I was lonely, I was hurt, I was angry, I was bitter. And then I met Jesus. And he changed everything about me, including my view of pain and suffering. You see, with Jesus, we have a companion who is closer than a brother, who will bear our pain, who will bear our suffering, because he's been there. He stretched out his arms and took the punishment for the very sin that causes our pain. What a Savior we have. He says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. So if you're here this morning and you've never trusted in Jesus, please do so. Come find somebody after the service. We'll be hanging around. There is nothing more important you'll hear today than receive Jesus. My prayer for us today is that this lament of Jeremiah and this little nugget of hope that we find in chapter 3 will help us have a proper perspective on who God is, on how much he loves us, and how he wants to walk along beside us when we're hurting. And that he sent his son to change everything for us. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, you paid a debt you did not owe. And we're thankful. We're thankful for that amazing grace that can change everything. And Father, while we don't thank you for our heartache, while we don't thank you for the pain and suffering, we thank you for what you do through it. And that in it we can see your goodness, we can see your grace, we can see your compassion. And that we can grow to be more like you so that others can see you in us. So God, thank you for being who you are. May our lives reflect that same nature every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.